Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, January 28th, Pope Francis writes a preface to a book dedicated to Christianity in Iraq. The CEO of Mary's Meal speaks about their work in feeding over 2.5 million children worldwide. But first, the director of the Catholic Center in Jordan encourages people to make a pilgrimage to the country. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. Father Rifat Bader, a Roman Catholic priest in the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem, directs the Catholic Center for Studies and Media in Jordan. The priest is in Rome for the Jubilee of Communications and the upcoming Jordan, Dawn of Christianity exhibit, set to open this week in the Vatican. In an interview with Deborah Castellano-Luboff, Father Rifat says Jordan remains a land of hope for its people and invites others to consider making religious pilgrimages to the roots of Christianity in Jordan and the rest of the Holy Land.
I am happy to participate as a media leader with all the colleagues from 138 countries who are participating in the Jubilee. We had the privilege to celebrate the Mass with His Holiness, which was the Mass for the Sunday of the Word of God, and then the audience of Saturday, and then yesterday we had a private audience also as directors, and we listened to the Holy Father speaking about communication in our time at the service of the Church. It's good to be here and to feel united with all the media Catholic offices in the world.
I had seen a photo of you with the Holy Father. Could you tell us about that exchange?
Yes, when I heard about the private audience in Jordan, I made a special picture for the Holy Father, which is the picture of the new Church of the Baptism site. And on it, I wrote a quotation from the Holy Father's letter to the Christians in the East in last, October, when he says that you are the blossoms of hope in the world of today, talking to the Christians in the East. So the baptism church, the new one that was inaugurated by His Eminence Cardinal Parolin as a special envoy of His Holiness Pope Francis, but also on it there is the blossoms of hope. In the year of hope, in the year of the Jubilee of hope, this is good. And I showed it to the Holy Father. I told him, this is the new Church of the Baptism site, and there are your words for the Christians in the East.
That was Father Rifat Bader, the director of the Catholic Center for Studies and Media in Jordan, speaking to Vatican Radio. And in other news from the Vatican, Pope Francis has penned the preface to a new book entitled The Christian Heritage in Iraq by German journalist and theologian Matthias Kopp, spokesperson for the German Bishops' Conference and consultant for the Vatican Dicastery for Communication. The book, published by Herder and currently available in German, explores the history of Christianity in Iraq, particularly focusing on Pope Francis' historic visit to the Middle Eastern nation and the Holy See's diplomatic efforts in the region. Lisa Zingarini tells us more in this report.
Matthias Kopp's essay traces a 20 centuries old history of Christianity in Iraq with a focus on the 2021 apostolic journey and on the Holy See's diplomacy in the region. In the preface, Pope Francis recalls the purpose of that historic visit, to express his closeness to Iraq's Christians, who, he writes, hold an abiding place in his heart, and to highlight the importance of interreligious dialogue for peace. According to Pope Francis, there are strong reasons to hope for a better future in Iraq, because he says it has an extraordinary potential which lies in all those people of goodwill committed to peace and sincere dialogue. In this context, his meeting with Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani in Najaf stands out as a powerful moment, as it was meant to be a message to the entire world that violence in the name of religion is an abuse of religion. The preface also highlights as another pivotal event of the visit the interfaith gathering in Ur, because it exemplified the potential for harmony among diverse communities and drew attention to the foundational role of Iraq in the spiritual history of humanity. Pope Francis notes that by exploring the rich heritage of Christianity in Iraq and documenting the diverse experiences of Christians and the engagement of the local church, COP not only honours Iraqi Christians, but also inspires a greater appreciation of their contribution to the country's cultural and spiritual identity. Concluding, Pope Francis reaffirms that the Christian presence in Iraq is vital for the nation's future. Despite ongoing challenges such as immigration and political instability, he expresses hope that Iraq can serve as a beacon of peaceful coexistence in the Middle East and beyond. I am Lisa Zengarini.
In a message to the Catholic Social Ministry gathering in the United States, Pope Francis says the Jubilee year is an opportunity to place the challenge of organizing hope at the center of the pastoral mission. The annual gathering is organized by the Bishops' Conference, Secretariat of Justice and Peace, in collaboration with 10 other USCCB departments and 20 national Catholic organizations. The theme for this year was Missionaries of Hope, Advocates for Justice. In his message, Pope Francis encourages social ministry leaders to build bridges of reconciliation, inclusion, and fraternity, and to not be afraid to be protagonists of history, as Christopher Wells reports.
In his message to participants at the Catholic Social Ministry gathering, Pope Francis emphasized that the Church's pastoral mission calls for a Church which goes forth, being able to sustain with words and actions the hope with which so many families have always come to these blessed lands. The Pope went on to express his hope that the CSMG would become a sign of unity, to build bridges of reconciliation, inclusion, and fraternity. He said he knows that they're able to rise to the challenge because each one of you works very hard to recognize Jesus Christ in those most in need, the excluded, the discarded, the poor, migrants. After praising the Church in the United States for its focus on concrete reality more than on abstract ideas, Pope Francis recognized the service of social ministry leaders, which makes possible, he said, a social dialogue that listens and converses with the poor, and always at the service of the common good. He encouraged participants to not be afraid to be protagonists of history, warning that if we fail to promote social justice, we will not be able to guarantee the dignity of every person, of every person who comes into this world, of every hopeful young person who sets foot in the Americas. Then, turning specifically to the young people taking part in the gathering, Pope Francis repeated his admonition, "Do not let yourselves be robbed of hope." And he reminded them that they are the key to putting an end to this piecemeal war that shakes the earth. Pope Francis concluded his message by encouraging all the participants of the Catholic Social Ministry Gathering to have the courage to continue to be pilgrims of hope, as your ancestors were. I'm Christopher Wells.
The Dicasteries for the Doctrine of the Faith and for Culture and Education released a document on Tuesday entitled Antiqua et Nova, Note on the Relationship Between Artificial Intelligence and Human Intelligence. It seeks to offer guidance for Catholic institutions and humanity as a whole regarding the ethical development and use of AI by exploring the challenges and opportunities AI poses in the fields of education, healthcare, economy, work, and warfare. Bishop Paul Tai, Secretary of the Dicastery for Culture and Education, spoke to Devin Watkins about the document, saying AI is distinct from human intelligence, but that it also offers an enormous potential for humanity.
The document focuses on a number of things. There's the headline issues that everybody has thought about, and that's out there, issues about the future of work, about war, about deep fakes, about inequality. And they're ethical issues that and societal issues that we want to look at and we look at. But in addressing those, we're also trying to focus back something more on a more basic question about what it means to be human. So the anthropological issue, what it means to be human, what is it that gives human life value, purpose, and meaning? We recognize that AI systems can enhance and augment certain parts of our humanity, that is our ability to reason, to process, to discern, to discover, to see patterns, to make innovations. It can certainly enhance that. But we also want to say that that type of intelligence is not the only type of intelligence, that there's a broader understanding of intelligence, which is about our human capacity to find purpose and meaning in life. It's interesting that many of the people working in AI are very clear that they want to put AI at the service of human good, that they want to have person-centered AI, they want AI for humanity. All these titles are there. But part of the question we have to ask is, what is it that is good for humanity? What is it that promotes human well-being? And that is a form of intelligence which machines can't really replace. We have to take that bigger, and understanding that in the Catholic tradition, which is rooted in our own philosophical traditions, not just in Catholicism, that understanding of intelligence is more than simply reasoning, calculation, processing, but also that capacity to look for purpose and meaning, direction in our lives. And it tries to open up that wider understanding of intelligence in terms of another pair of categories. One, as it says, going beyond pure rationality, moving on to issues that a lot of the way we grow as human beings is in dialogue and debate with others. So relationality becomes a key part of what it is to have human intelligence, our ability to learn from others.
That was Bishop Paul Tai, Secretary of the Dicastery for Culture and Education, speaking to Devin Watkins. And Pope Francis has called for February 3rd to be the World Meeting on Human Children's Rights, dedicated to protecting the millions who are still without basic human rights. The program for the day was presented on Tuesday at the Holy See Press Office, announcing the presence of dozens of advocates for the rights of children from all corners of the globe and walks of life. One of the speakers will be Magnus McFarlane Barrow, founder and CEO of Mary's Meals, a charity which feeds over 2.5 million children all over the world and was founded in 2002. Francesco Medlo recently visited Malawi, visiting the schools in which Mary's Meals serve. She spoke to Magnus McFarlane Barrow, who explained a little bit more about the work they do around the world.
Mary's Meals is just this very simple thing aimed at helping the world's very poorest children and poorest communities escape poverty. And we do that in the form of one meal served every day in a place of education for the world's poorest children. So we meet their immediate need for food. And at the same time, we tackle the underlying causes of poverty by enabling their education, by bringing them into school. Because today, millions of children, 71 million children currently, are missing school globally because of poverty and hunger. So this simple thing we do, one meal every day, is a game changer, transforms lives. And I think key to how we do Mary's Meals is, well, first of all, there's this incredible grassroots movement of support around the world. Many people doing what they can, giving gifts, fundraising, raising awareness. And at the heart of it are these amazing volunteers here, like in countries like Malawi, where we serve the meals, who give up their time every day to cook and serve the meals for the children of their own community. And those meals normally consist of locally produced food, which is also about helping the local economy grow, supporting the local farmers. So it's a simple thing, but it works. It's changing a lot of lives. And it's amazing that today we're feeding nearly 2.5 million children around the world, across 16 of the world's poorest countries. And that's an amazing thing, something we might not have dared to imagine when we fed the first 200 kids here back in 2002. And at the same time, we feel like we've only really just begun, because there are that 70 million children still waiting.
That was Magnus McFarlane Barrow, founder and CEO of Mary's Meals, speaking to Vatican Radio. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more, please go to our website. Many thanks this evening go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.